The Six Pillars of Freedom on Freedom 970 KUFO AM Portland.
Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, good morning, Northwest and Portland, Oregon in particular. What a beautiful day. The sun's shining. A little overcast this morning early, but now the sun's coming out. Going to be a beautiful weekend, so I hope you get to get out there and enjoy it and have a good time. And speaking about that, this morning in studio with me is Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm.
Good morning, Chuck, and we always have a good time doing this.
Absolutely. We have a lot of fun, and of course, our other sidekick, Kevin Stege with the Baker Colson CPA Firm, is off having a weekend, a well-deserved weekend of relaxation and having some fun.
Yes, he is.
And so we welcome your calls today. If you have a question, of course, go light with us on the tax question because we're without our tax man. But if you have a question, give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. That's 800-990-0750 or here locally, 503-417-7626. And, of course, what makes this show go is the questions from our audience, people that call in and ask us a question. And if you call in today, I will give you a free book, a Harry Dent's book. And if you haven't read it or you haven't went on Amazon and bought it yet, I certainly recommend you do it. But it's called The Demographic Cliff, How to Survive and Prosper in the Great Deflation of 2014 to 2019. And also, if you go on there, if I happen to go on Amazon, you can check out Rodney Johnson's new book. I got to tell you, it's quite humorous because I think he Rodney has kind of a dry sense of humor, and he kind of attacks. It's called Irrational Economics, and he discusses in his book how actually crazy is the economy right now. And the economy is nuts. We have stocks that are trading at numbers that are so crazy, it's unbelievable that people would be investing in them, yet people keep investing in them. And they're not really making as much money as the stock price says they should be making. And so what are you buying? You're buying a wing and a prayer, basically. But hang on. It's going to be an interesting ride because I tell you, I think the markets are going to take some monumental changes here in the near future. And speaking about the stock market, I'm going to give them a little stock market report on what's going on with the market. And of course, we report the stock market report different than anybody I've ever heard on TV or on the radio. But we talk about real numbers, real rate of return. The Dow Jones closed at 16,916. It was down this week. One of the biggest downs of the year for the week. And how does the Dow compare to where it closed on 10,907 when we hit that high and then we had the recovery? It was at 14,164.53. So since the market collapse and recovery, we're only up 19.74% in 6 years and 9.5 months. And that's an average annual return of 2.91%. For the Dow Jones, for the 30 biggest stocks in America. I mean, that's hard for me to believe over that period of time. Now, if we take the Dow Jones and go back to 12/31/99, the Dow Jones closed at 11,497.12. It's up 47.52 for 13 years and 6.75 months. That's an average return of 3.5% per year. Now, I like that better than 2.91, But the reality is that those are not good numbers. Not if you're going to invest in equity stocks. And if you're investing in the stock market, you're investing in equities. You're investing in the market, and there are no guarantees. The S&P closed at 1978.34. Remember, one of the things Harry Dent's talked about on our show numerous times is when that S&P hits 2,000, watch out. That's kind of a key time, and that's coming real quick. So where do we stand on the S&P when it closed on 10907 of 1565.15? Well, we're up 26.40%. So in 6 years, 9.5 months, we're up 3.89%. Those are the top 500 stocks, growth stocks in America, and actually kind of in the world, because now there's very few stocks that are American stocks. Almost every stock now is an international stock. And, you know, we only represent 4% of the world's population. So if you're a company trying to make money, are you going to just market to 4% of the world's population, or are you going to maybe take a look at the other 96%? I think you are. If you want to make money for your shareholders, you are. So anyway, those stocks, you know, over that period of time are up 3.89%. Those are stocks that the 80 years before averaged over 10%. That's a big far cry from what it was doing. The S&P on 12/31/99 closed at 14.69.25. So it's up 34.65 for 13 years, 6.75 months, or a 2.55% return for those 13 years, 6.75 months. That's dismal.
You know, it's really amazing to me in the sense that it's a lot like I think of many of my clients who are also many of your clients who are retired and probably bought over the years a lot of bonds, and at one time those bonds, long term bonds, 30-year type bonds, were paying substantial interest rates, and then you know, and then they started dropping over the years, and now of course they're much less than even the stock market, it sounds like, although they are.
Actually, the bonds have outperformed the stock market.
So there, you know, that investing strategy, I guess, in a sense, has worked out fairly well. But the returns are very, very small. And there was a time when people actually, you know, spent a lot of money on bonds because the return was good and they gave them a substantial amount of interest income. But much now.
You know, Carl, one of the old adages, people used to buy and hold bonds and buy long-term bonds and hold on to them. And we used to always tell clients, if you could lock in more than 6%, you know, 70% of the time you're beating the CD market. So that's a good rate of return. If you can get 6 to 7%, hang on to that and take the income, those are pretty good returns. And that's even when the market was doing, you know, 8 to 10%. But of late, the bonds have done better than the market. And we have three managed portfolios that we use that are preservation of principal type portfolios, and all of them trade in bond funds. They don't buy and hold. They buy and trade, and they try to make money and gains, try not to lose money for our clients. And all of those funds, you know, one of them has been around for 23 years and never had a losing year. So I've yet to see a mutual fund, and I've looked at a lot of them. I've yet to see a mutual fund anywhere that I've seen that can go back 23 years and say they haven't had a losing year. I just haven't seen one.
You know, you raised an interesting point last week about looking at how old the fund is, that a lot of times when the fund starts doing badly, they buy a new fund. You know, they make it a new fund.
Well, they start a new fund. They copy the old fund and start a new fund that doesn't have a track record, but they try to, you know, they don't want to show you that recovery period of time. And a ton of companies did that right after the turn of the century, because the first 3 years we had down markets. And then they came up with these retirement funds. And you're exactly right. In 2008, they did the same thing. They came out with a whole bunch of new funds in 2009 and 2010.
What is it? The figures never lie and the liars never figure.
If you put the numbers together, that's exactly right. But I am going to say this about, I think oil is on the way up. Oil closed at 101.92, and last time it was 103.02, so it came down a little bit. Gold closed at 13.08, and the week before was at 13.11. The 10-year bond rate is the thing that I think the Feds are holding the money down. The Fed rate closed at 2.47, mm-hmm. and last week it was 2.48. I still think, you know, Dent talks about the great deflation that's coming, and but yet when you read all the business articles, you go on Yahoo Finance, you go on any of them, they're all talking about inflation. Everybody's talking about inflation. He's one of the few economists that's talking about deflation. And one of that relates directly to home prices, because homes in America, let's face facts, in America, the real thing that drives this country is the building of homes. You think about, you know, home building creates all kinds of jobs. It creates the real estate market. It creates the mortgage market. In a lot of essence, it creates the insurance market, because they got to insure those homes. It puts landscapers to work. It helps Home Depot. It helps Lowe's. It helps, you know, Par Lumber, all the lumber companies. Everything goes into home building, and that kind of runs this country and has ran this country for a long, long time. The problem is we're coming to a time where us baby boomers that are moving through here, and 10,000 of us are turning 65 every day, are all of a sudden our large block of numbers is passing through the time when we're not buying homes. We're not building. We're not doing those things. We're living in the home we're in. We're going to stay in that home probably, and we're probably not going to buy another one. And so that leaves the younger generation to buy those homes, and there's less of those people coming up behind us than that are passing through.
You know, another part of that, too, is that a lot of the young folks beyond us baby boomers, or before or after our baby boomers, are in jobs now that do not have the income. They're not the kind of level of jobs that we enjoyed and or that our generation enjoyed. And you know, we see that. I mean, my kids are looking at trying to find jobs, and it's a really tough putt for young people today. The number of jobs, just the number, and it used to be that there were quite a lot of jobs, it seemed like, when I was looking in those days, and there were a lot of them, but they weren't necessarily good jobs, but you could get one. You know, you could get a decent job. It may be not the great job, but you could get one if you had even just modest qualifications. And now, today, that's simply not really true.
One of the problems that the politicians are totally ignoring about the immigration problem we have in this country is, yeah, a lot of people are coming in here, and yeah, they're taking the lower income jobs, but they're also out there competing for jobs, and they're bringing the income down on some jobs, like construction jobs. Mm-hmm. And these people coming in, they're working for less money, and that's driving the dollars down that Americans could have made doing that same job. Now, you know, for every action, there's a reaction in the economy. That's the problem. And so how do we turn it around? And I hate, just like what you're saying, I hate the fact that my kids, my grandkids, are looking at a job market way worse than you and I ever faced. You know, way worse. And the jobs today that are being created, this is, and Kevin's talked about it numerous times. He's brought it up, and he's had some really good points on it about the fact that the average American today is making less money than they were making 5 years ago. That's scary. That's really, really scary. And I feel really bad for these kids. I mean, I was talking to some people the other day, and the daughter still has, she's in her 40s, she still has almost $50,000 in college debt she's paying off. That's a hard thing to do, and it's at 6.75.
Wow, that's a... How do you make rent? I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable. Yeah.
And I mean, she's had a tough time getting a job, and she's got a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
There just aren't that many jobs out there. And I'll tell you, here's something, though, that kind of goes with what you're saying. And this to me is a lot of hope, because this tells me the young people are getting it. You know, it's real easy to blast young people and say, well, they don't want to work. They don't want, you know, I don't believe that. I think everybody, it's an innate in us. When we grow up, we want to own a home. We want to have a good job. We want to have a family. We want to be able to travel. We want to be able to take vacations. All of us have those inherent things that we want to do as human beings that we strive to succeed on. I think everybody has that in their body. I don't care who you are. I think you have it. Some people just don't display it. But here's something that I think is real interesting. Young Americans are saving more for retirement. Fidelity analyzed over 7 million IRAs and found that savers in their 20s, 30s, and 40s increased their retirement contributions by 3.2%, 6.9%, and 6.2%, respectively, from 2012 to 2013. The top three New Year's resolutions for those who responded to a survey was to save more money, spend less, and pay down debt. Wow. Isn't that refreshing to hear? That's exciting, I think.
You know, it's interesting, too, and I hope that that same kind of, you know, clear thinking will, you know, advance the political situation so that hopefully people will become more educated as to what the issues are and how the politicians vote and, you know, how those votes are tied to, you know, how much money they got and where they got it.
Well, here's the bad news, the good news, the bad news part of that. What it means, and this is from Harry Dent's letter that he sends out to all of us people who are members of his group. What it means, this is the exact opposite of what the Fed wants to hear, especially for the younger set. From the Fed's point of view, people need to save less, spend more, and rack up more debt. And we said all along, monetary policy is like pushing on a string. If people don't want to buy more stuff, it's hard to force them to make purchases no matter how low the interest rates go. And the fact is, you're exactly right, Carl. The political beings in this country have a totally 180-degree position than the average person has. And that's the big fight in America. It really is.
You know, it's interesting. I wish I like you, I play golf occasionally, and we sometimes take an extra shot that we either call a do-over or a mulligan. And sometimes you wish you could just sort of have everything go back 10 years and say, let's do that over. Let's try something different.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's what we always say, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, with that thought, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with Carl's comments. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you'd like to ask a question of either Carl or myself, give us a call at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Or toll free, 800-990-0750. 800-990-0750. And if you call in and ask a question, you can pick up a free copy of Harry Dent's book at my office. So just give us a call and you can get that book. Thank you very much. And we'll be right back.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. 7626. Here's Carl Jepsen.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Carl Jepsen, and it's Carl's Comments time. That's when I talk about a subject that's come up in my practice in the last week or so, or just something that I thought was interesting. In this case, it's just a little different spin on things today. We've talked about advanced directives and healthcare powers of attorney and things like that in the past, but I was happening to run across an article actually in a nursing journal, and a nurse had written an article about advanced directives, and it's kind of from the nursing standpoint. And she pointed out a couple of very interesting things. First of all, kind of some of the cases that were sort of the origin of the advanced directive in the first place. And this was way back when, and there was a fellow named Tim Dolan who was 49 years old, and he had gone in for some surgery, and he ended up with a major hemorrhage. And it created an aneurysm, and it burst in his brain. And he was basically in a persistent vegetative state, they called it. And in fact, that language shows up in living wills or advanced directives in some states. Actually, Washington has they call it a permanent or persistent vegetative state. But anyway, and then another lady, Nancy Cruzan, she was a 25-year-old who ended up in an automobile accident, and she ended up spent 7 years in a coma. And then likewise, you can remember the Terry Schiavo case. Here wasn't all that long ago, where the lady the argument was that she was brain dead, but was still being maintained. And some of the family members said, no, we don't want to let her go. And the husband, ex-husband, wanted to say, no, I know her wishes were that she didn't want to be this way. And so there was a big fight, and ultimately they did remove the life support, and she passed away. So that's kind of what I kind of wanted to look at it that way. And the theme, or the part of the big theme of this is that people need to know about these kinds of things and need to know what advanced directives are and what healthcare powers of attorneys are from the get-go, just because these were people who would have never expected this kind of thing to happen to them. And even though it's probably pretty rare, it's one of those things that you don't want to think about, but I certainly don't, but you have to a certain extent. And it's a real simple thing to take care of the problem. So anyway.
Well, Carl, one of the big problems in these things too is people's beliefs. Because one of the strong things of religious beliefs is some beliefs that you never commit suicide, and that as long as you can take a breath of air, you need to keep trying to live. And so it becomes a real philosophical thing for a lot of people to fill that form out. I know you've encountered it, and I've encountered it with our clients, where you talk to them about doing this, and it's a tough decision. I know for my wife and I, it's a very tough decision. I remember when we were doing our healthcare directives, we basically made it a personal thing of what we personally wanted, because neither one of us would ever want to have to be in that decision to make that choice for the other person that you love and been married to for a long, long time. That's a very hard thing.
Oh, it is. It's extremely difficult. And that's one of the advantages, actually, I think one of the most important things about a so-called living will or advanced directive is that those left behind, those who rely on the directions that have been given them in advance by the person who ultimately dies, they are comforted by the fact that they were doing or what was done was exactly what the person wanted. So that's, I think, the more important than just about anything else is to have that sense that you either did or did not do exactly what it was that the person wanted, so that it was their choice. And I think that that's a very, very important aspect of it. And obviously, those things take into consideration everyone's religious and philosophical views and thoughts on things. And I think that that's very important to be able to put that down in a way that for yourself that honors those feelings, those beliefs, those philosophies. So anyway, but basically, an advanced directive is a device. It's a legal device that gives your physicians directions as to what life support you want if you are in what amounts to a permanent never going to get better, terminal condition. And the use of life support, things like respirators, things like tube feeding, would just keep you alive a little bit longer, but never going to get better. And they in Oregon, they describe a number of conditions, which I won't bother with. They're all terrible. But and that term persistent vegetative state is used in Washington. That's the one that really kind of makes the hairs on the back of my neck go up. And you know, but that's basically what a lot of people think about. And so I think if you think of it in those kinds of terms, that's one way to look at it. But anyway, that's what this does. It allows you to make choices as to how those things, what decisions are to be made. You're not able to do it by that point. And so this is one of those things that's what we do with these documents. And these cases of people being on prolonged life support, are exactly the kinds of situations that these documents address. The advance directive in Oregon also has what's called a healthcare representative, and that's really a durable power of healthcare power of attorney, and it appoints someone else to make medical decisions for you when you can't. And actually, it can be a little bit confusing in signing up one of these forms, because the form asks you to give the authority to impose life support, you know, tube feeding, respirators, and things. And then it turns around and says to the doctors, but don't do that. And so it's kind of a curious form. But the real difference is that the healthcare representative is given authority to do those things when it's necessary to make you well, you know, where it's you know, you're not permanently going to be in this state, or you shouldn't be, and you have a bad situation, and maybe you're unconscious, but you need those things to keep you alive long enough to make you well. And the other situation is, you know, where you're directing the physicians not to do it anymore is when there's no hope. I mean, that's what I call it, no hope. That's not exactly the terms that are used, but that's essentially it. When there's no hope of recovery and you're in this terrible state, then those are different things. So, and I would guess that most people, if there is hope, they're going to, you know, you want your healthcare representative to be able to say, yeah, go ahead and do that. At least that's the way I would feel about it. But anyway, so that's kind of how those things work. This document is sometimes confused with what we call a PULST, a physician's order for life-sustaining treatment. And for those of you who are in the elderly category or have elderly relatives, many of them have this little pink form, and it sits on their refrigerator a lot of time in their apartment or their home. And if you look closely at that thing, it has to be signed by a doctor. That's why they call it a physician's order for life-sustaining treatment. And what this is about is it's dealing with specific kind of medical conditions. Many people are very frail. Maybe they have a heart condition. Who knows? But one of the things they may or may not want is they may not want to be resuscitated by the paramedics if they are, you know, in there, if they, you know, are down for whatever reason. They've had a heart attack or they, you know, whatever, because the resuscitation might be worse than the, you know, be worse or add to the problem. Or maybe it's just such that their condition is such that you know, going back through the treatment process would be just, you know, kind of a waste of time. I don't know, or a lot of things. That's something that you have to decide with your physician. But nonetheless, it's not the same thing as the advance directive in the sense that you're not in the hospital and you're not in this persistent vegetative state, but rather you've suffered some kind of condition. And the question is, if I find myself in that condition, do I want this kind of treatment, namely the resuscitation that you would get from the paramedics, that kind of thing. So it's a different thing, but they could be both construed as some kind of an advance directive in the sense that they give instructions in advance of the event that might give rise to the need. And so those are the two things. So going back to the basic theme is having thought of these things, it's best to put these things together for yourself. We do it as a matter of course as part of the estate planning process. When people come in and do a will or a trust, I usually ask them if they would like to do it. Most of them say yes. And we go through it line by line so they don't have to get confused by the form. And that's just one of the things that they do. We recommend that people, once we get them fully signed, that they provide copies to those people who should know about it, the healthcare representative, that sort of thing, should give one to their primary care physician, give one to their hospital if you belong to like a Kaiser or Providence or one of those systems, most of them can actually scan those things into their medical record system, and then that would be available to anybody who found, you know, who needed to look at it in that situation. So so those are the kinds of things that that you do with those things. And again, it's a very important thing, and it's simple, and it's you know, basically we do it as a kind of a matter of course when people do wills. Rarely do we have people come in and just say, "Oh, all I want is an advance directive," but we would do that too. But as a practical matter, that it usually comes up when you're doing your will. So but if you haven't, and you can get those forms from your doctor, sometimes you can get those forms from your you know, your hospital. Sometimes this is one of the things about this article they talked about, that really, you know, the hospital often gives you an advance directive about the time that you're going in for surgery, and they say, you know, that's probably not the best time to do this, but they often do. The problem is just you know if you're sick and you're going in for surgery, you know, the notion of telling them, you know, these things is not very attractive. It doesn't give you a great deal of confidence. So my encouragement is to go out and do it early before something bad happens, and that way at least you're doing it in a proper state of mind to do that. The only caveat I say is it's very easy to make confusing or inconsistent answers on the questions on this particular form. So I suggest to you that you read it all the way through before you sign off, and then also to, you know, kind of look at it very carefully before you try to do it by yourself. You need to have two witnesses present when you sign it. So that's another thing. You have to have it witnessed, and then also the healthcare representative, the person who is your representative, has to sign the form accepting the responsibility of being your healthcare power of attorney or healthcare representative. Now, they don't have to be there. They can sign at any time, but they have to have to be an effective thing. They have to sign it, whereas the witnesses have to be there when you sign the actual advance directive.
You know, Carl, one of the things that I think a lot of people, and me as a layperson, we get confused about, and I hear people all the time are confused about it. There's two distinct things between a durable power of attorney and a healthcare directive.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people get them confused.
They do. A durable power of attorney is usually what we call a financial or a property power of attorney. It's talking about your business affairs, your financial affairs, your contractual affairs, whereas the healthcare power of attorney really has to do with your healthcare. So yeah, they and one does not necessarily do the other. So
you can have two different people.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, but one of the things too that I recently went in and had a surgical procedure, and one of the things it's kind of interesting that you brought that up, because one of the things the prep nurse said to me was, "Do you have a healthcare directive on file mm-hmm. with your doc?" And we have one with our. I have one with my doctor. And I said, yes, I do. But then I got to thinking about it. How long are those good for?
Well, actually, that's a good question. They're probably good for – there's a block on the Oregon form that says, you know, good for how many years you want, or forever until I'm – you know, and for my entire life. And I usually have people check that one. You can always change them and reverse them. But so they can last a long, long time. But quite frankly I mean, I think it's a good idea to review them and redo them. There's been a lot of changes. Say, for example, if in the last 10 or 15 years you haven't changed one, well, that would be a good idea to look at them, because the form may have changed just a little bit. And also the HIPAA is the Privacy Act that deals with medical records and medical information. And that has been changed as it relates to advance directives and things over the years. So it's probably good to, you know, review them periodically and have a new one done. And a lot of times what people forget is that maybe the healthcare person that you appointed to be your healthcare representative, you know, they may not be around anymore. They might not live in the same city that you do. They might, you know, or they may have deceased. And or maybe you don't like them anymore. and you don't want them deciding that. So anyway, those kinds of things are important to review on a regular basis.
Well, you know, Carl, I've got clients that got their kids. One particular client I can think of, one of the kids is here locally. One of their kids is back on the East Coast. And the one that they have set up for their executor and their power of attorney mm-hmm. and everything is the one on the East Coast, not the one here.
Right.
And that does create a little bit of a problem, because if something happens, that person on the East Coast has to be communicating.
Yeah, it makes it a little more awkward, especially with the medical care kinds of things. One of the things that we kind of do is I try to see if we can make that as easy as possible. It's certainly possible to have, you know, if the people in your life, the most qualified for those kinds of decision making are far away, you can do it, and it may be just the best idea. But on the other hand, especially the healthcare ones, if you've got someone who is close to you, sometimes we use alternatives. For example, we have an alternative healthcare representative that would make the decision if, for example, the first person on the list can't be reached, you know, by the physicians. So you can do the same kind of thing on a power of attorney, so that if you can't, you know, reach the other person or the other person's unavailable, that, you know, number two can take over and manage things. So that's one way to do it. There are also other things that we sometimes do, that we set up things that are, you know, maybe fixed in stone a little bit more, but we try to meet those contingencies so that there's someone available to make a decision when it's necessary.
Well, listen, if you've got a question out there about healthcare directives or durable power of attorneys, give us a call, 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Or toll free, 990-0750. That's 800-990-0750. And we're going to come right back with the Knowledge Trust. You're listening to Investing Simplified on Freedom 970, as we like to refer to ourselves, the sixth pillar of freedom.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
My name is Money.
Well, you're listening to Investing Simplified, and yes, part of our show, we do like to talk about money, and this is one of those times when we talk about the Knowledge Trust. We kind of open up a free-for-all, and since Kevin isn't here today, I get to play Tax Man.
Yeah, it's Knowledge Trust minus one.
Minus one, yeah, so. Absolutely. And I'm going to give a little shameless plug here to my newsletter. And if you're not getting my newsletter, you can go to my website at pfgwm.com and sign up for it. And I particularly want to bring your attention to the July one. And if you want to get a copy of that, you can email me and I can send you a copy of it. But we talk about some interesting things. And one of the things is the top 10 tax breaks you'll miss in 2014, which means the tax man's taken them away. They're not there anymore.
The tax man taketh and the tax man taketh.
That's right. And so, then they take a little more.
They take a little more.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a few things in here that I'm not going to go through each of the tax break things. But, you know, one of the ones that we've talked a lot to our clients about and a lot of our clients have taken advantage of is the qualified charitable distributions. And for the past few years, a qualified charitable distribution called QCD – of up to $100,000 could be made from an IRA directly to a qualified charity if you were age 70 and a half or older. Such contributions were excluded from your income and counted towards satisfying the required minimum distribution that you had to make when you hit 70 and a half years old from your IRA and for that tax year. So they were a great option, you know, prior, but they're not anymore. And I know a lot of my clients who are at 70 and a half and have saved and done really well, the last thing they need is more income. That's the one thing they do not need is more taxable income. And so being able to give that to a charity or pass it on to a charity has been a very nice thing to do, not only for estate planning, but for tax planning. So anyway, I've got the top 10 tax breaks in my newsletter that you can do or that are gone now that hopefully we will get back. I also have a nice little recipe on there for a summertime lemonade non-alcoholic drink that would be a very nice thing if you wanted to make, especially tomorrow when it's going to be 90 degrees. But I think something that's kind of important, too, that I talk about, and this is in the Did You Know area, 46% of Americans have less than $10,000 saved for retirement. Now, is that scary? 80% of the adults say they are not confident about having enough money for a comfortable retirement. And you can find all those statistics out at lifehappens.org. But if you want to go on my website, pfgwm.com, you can get a copy of the newsletter. You can sign up for it. We send this out free every month. There's no cost to it. You can sign up for it. You can take it, read it. If you get it via email, it's nice because you can read it and just delete it if you want to. And if you're one of those people out there that don't like to use email, we'll even mail you a copy of it free of charge. And so just give us a call and do that. And speaking about that, on the back of this newsletter, I talk about the book called Investing Simplified that's going to be coming out, and it's due to come out October 14th is the date that it should be published and available. And we are going to do a pre-sale on the website askthefinancialdoctor.com and on pfgwm.com. And if you pre-order, you can get it for $15.99, and otherwise it's going to be $19.95.
Yeah, and this the book is kind of like a basic primer overview to good investing and economic principles.
Absolutely, and we also have I also have nine contributing editors or authors, or and Carl's one of them, and Kevin's one of them, and Carl talks about estate planning, and Kevin talks about taxation. And we have other information in there about long-term care, about money management of your portfolio, being able to manage your own portfolio. And one of the things I do like to say to people, one of the things that kind of sets us apart and at Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we handle people's serious money. And I don't have a problem with any of my clients trading stocks. In fact, I help them set up, you know, sometimes plans at TD Ameritrade or Schwab or Scott Trade, wherever they may want to trade, because that's an area that we just don't do ourselves, or we don't recommend people to do. But if you're good at it and you like doing it and you can take the risk with money, there are some great opportunities to be made in individual stocks. I prefer individual stocks versus funds. We manage funds and trade funds to make profits, and we handle people's serious money because we do preservation of principal, where we want very, very conservative investments. But, you know, all your money shouldn't be just in conservative investments unless you're retired and you don't want to take any risk at all. Then certainly you should be in conservative investments. But if you're out there younger and you're working, having some money in the market and playing in the market, there's not a thing wrong with that. There's not a thing wrong with taking a more aggressive risk if you have time. It's just do your homework. Really look at what you're buying and have a strategy going in. And one of the biggest problems I see with people that buy stock, and I was talking to somebody this past week, they fall in love with their stock. They don't ever want to get rid of it. And when I showed them the chart, and we talked here, Carl, one of the weeks Kevin and I was here, we did a thing, and I told people could call in and give me a symbol, and I'd tell them about the stock or the mutual fund, what the recovery time was. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book is recovery time in your investment. If you're 60 years old or 65 years old and you're going to retire, and you have your money in a whole bunch of investments that historically have a 5 to 7 year recovery time, and you're counting on using that money for your retirement income, you got to change your strategy because you can't afford it. You can't afford the downtime of your portfolio not making money. And that's just a reality of life. And I wished it was different, and I wished I could say to you, oh, hey, it doesn't matter. Just throw your money in there and you're going to make money. But that's not real. That's not the way life really works.
You know, it's interesting how that happens. I've actually had a case where some people have done wonderful, you know, have made wonderful returns during their earlier years. And just like you said, they said, well, gosh, we're doing so great. We don't want to give this up. But then, you know, things change when they're getting older, and it can make for some very awkward situation. I understand we have a caller on the line.
Yeah, we've got
right?
a caller. Tim has got a question about the stock market. Tim, are you there?
Yes.
What's your question?
Well, this goes back to last week's program when you had Harry Dent on.
Yes.
And I sort of gathered that he is advocating there's going to be a big crash in the market. And so he's kind of, I guess, advocating that you get out of the market. And if you're an investor, that's kind of scary. But what I didn't understand is what is he advocating maybe you should switch into?
Well, that's a really great question. And I can tell you this. And what he's recommending that you do is not necessarily get out of the market, because we think there still might be a little bit of growth left in the market. But we're certainly advocating, and I have been advocating for a long time on this show, to our listeners and to our clients, that if you're a stockholder, you got to start moving up those stop losses. And if you have big gains in the stock market, do you know what a stop loss is? Do you have money in the market, like individual stocks?
No, mostly just mutual funds.
Okay. The problem with mutual funds, you really can't do a stop loss. You have to go in and make the sale on them. And that's one of the problems with mutual funds that I personally don't like. We're recommending our clients right now that if you're in stocks, you put in stop losses. If you're in mutual funds, you look at changing those mutual funds to a managed portfolio that manages preservation of principal, so that when the market tanks, you're in cash and you live to fight another day. Because one of the greatest buying opportunity comes after a market crash is to gradually come back into the market. That's one advantage I talk about on the show all the time that young people have in dollar cost averaging into your 401k. But the big mistake, and is your investments mostly in a 401k in mutual funds?
Some of both.
Okay. Well, what I advocate to people that are in a mutual fund, in a 401k, if you don't have a managed portfolio option, which some plans don't, but a lot of plans do, if you don't have that, then don't have large amounts of money in one individual fund. Move that money back into a cash account or a money account or a fixed account, and then dollar cost average back in, have that money moved in maybe each month back into your funds, because then you're protected when the volatile market comes and the market tanks down. You don't have all your money in the fund, so you don't go down 30, 40, 50%. You have that money sitting in cash. Then you start putting the money back into those funds. And you can do that in a 401k. It just takes a lot of work to do it yourself, but you can do it. Now, if you own individual funds outside of your 401k, it's not as easy to do, and it can be really, really costly if you're working with a broker that charges commissions every time you buy and sell. It can get prohibitive, and that's why a lot of my clients use managed portfolios, because you can go into a managed portfolio and pay a flat fee, and you've got a money manager managing that money for you. And we have some managed portfolios that, you know, they haven't had a losing year in 23 years, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you, Tim. Good question. Very good question. And if you have a stock or a mutual fund that you have a question about, about the recovery time on it, give us a call, and I'll be happy to kind of run the numbers for you real quick here and tell you. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the last segment, which is only going to be about 6 or 7 minutes long. So if you want to, like Tim, have a question, give us a call. We certainly welcome your question, 503-417-7626. Toll-free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a house.
Well, if you got $1 million, you better give us a quick call because time is running out. We could discuss what you could do with that $1 million. Right, Carl?
Absolutely.
Well, listen, we're enjoying a nice summer finally. I think we're going to have a great rest of this time, and we encourage people to get out there and enjoy the nice weather and have a fun time, but be safe and be responsible. Don't drive and drink. If you're in Washington, don't drive and smoke that wacky tobacco, and be careful out there. But, Carl, somebody wants to get a hold of you. How do they do it?
Well, we are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue. That's one block north of Gleason, so we're just off the 205 off of Gleason and real easy to find. We are at 503-255-8795. You can reach us on the web at warrenallen.com, and we've been there since the early 1970s. We have 9 lawyers. We're a general practice firm that does just about everything that any individual or small business would need as far as legal representation.
Well, I was talking to one of your senior partners the other day, and he said he came over with the Mayflower.
Yeah, well, that's that, you know, I mean, we often talk about the quill pens we used to use in law school. You know, so.
But you guys are I believe you're the oldest law firm on the east side, are you not?
We probably are, and we're certainly, we're probably one of the largest, if not the largest, because there aren't many law firms. There are collections of lawyers who have sort of office sharing arrangements, but we've actually been a plain old fashioned partnership for many, many years, and it's worked for us. So I think we're a little bit unique in that.
And you guys are on the web?
Absolutely, warrenallen.com.
And if do you guys do a newsletter or anything about legal?
No, but we do have a lot of articles and things on the website. And people who can't call to the show or have a question, I've had a few people call over the years that call me at the office. Now, next week I may not be around, but more often than not, I am. And I'll be more than happy to call you back and, you know, at least talk to you for a little while. If you have a question, you just tell the receptionist that, you know, you were a caller on the radio show and you just wanted to ask me a question or something. That's fine. That works out great.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that Carl, Kevin, and I, all three of us do, is we certainly take any calls from people who listen to the radio show. And if you have a question or a concern about your investment or about taxes or about legal, you can give us a call during the week and we'll be more than happy to answer it Or we can schedule a time and discuss it with you over the phone. I personally like to kind of schedule appointments, phone appointments particularly, so I can give you the time to make sure I give you the time to answer the question that you may have. But you can give us all a call at our offices. In my case, you can reach me at pfgwm.com. And on our website, you can go and you can listen to previous shows. Tim was very nice to mentioned that he called, that he listened last week when Harry Dent was on. And as a matter of fact, every one of our shows I have on our website that you can go in there and you can listen to in our library, and you can listen to our past calls with Harry Dent or with Rodney Johnson. And if you just want to listen to Investing Simplified, you can go in there and listen to Carl, Kevin, and Chuck talk about various things, and those are all taped on there as well. So you can go in and listen to past shows if you missed them, and hopefully if you do have questions, don't hesitate. You can always email me too at askchuck@pfgwm.com, and I'll send you an email back. And we've had people call into the show and ask our engineer questions after we're done, and that's fine too. And we try to answer those next on the show if we can, and get them back to you. And we'll try to always respond to you as soon as we can. But I do want to say, if you are not in a situation where you're investing right now and you're looking at your portfolio and you have money in the market, I really recommend you get a strategy of a stop loss on your stocks, on your individual stocks, and the same thing, develop a strategy with your mutual funds and your 401k. And if you have a 401k and you want to run it by me, I'll give you some recommendations on it. We have numerous clients. One of the problems is you are limited to your investment choices in a 401k. So it takes a lot more work on your part to protect yourself in a 401k, unless you have a managed portfolio in there. And not every one of them does, but a lot of them do. And a lot of times people will come in and say, well, you know, I don't know what to do. And I'll get on the phone with them. We'll call and we find out they have the availability of having a managed portfolio. So, you know, it never hurts to ask. There is no foolish question when it comes to your money. Thanks for listening to Investing Simplified. We'll be back next Saturday. Have a great week and enjoy the sun.
We do Investing Simplified. Financial Group Wealth Management. Price Financial Group Wealth Management.